الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الصوم لي قال الله سبحانه وتعالى الصوم لي وأنا أجزي به أو قال وأنا أجزى به أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Let's recite Durus Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Respected elders and dear brothers, today is the 15th of Sha'ban. And it's just about 15 or 14 more days remaining for the very special month of Ramadan. The scholars, they say that when you've got 15th of Sha'ban is like the true dawn for the month of Ramadan. You know, when the true dawn happens, the mu'min, the believer's concern and the first and foremost thing that he wants to do is pray his Fajr Salah. Right? Because it's the time for Fajr. So when it's 15th of Sha'ban, it means that we're just about to begin the month of Ramadan. So in our last session as well, we spoke something about the preparation for the month of Ramadan. Preparation. How can we prepare for it? What are the things that we should remember? What are the things that we should keep in our mind when Ramadan is just about to begin? Right? See, if you've got a special guest coming at your house, you prepare for him in advance. Yeah, you look forward for it. Oh, I've got a special guest coming at my house. You'll say to your children as well that you make sure that you behave nicely. Yeah, you'll sort out the house as well. Why? Because you know the guest that is coming is very special to you. Now, what about the special guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ramadan is a guest from Allah. How is it a guest from Allah? Because that's an opportunity for us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, if we look into our lives, whatever age we are in now, say if we are 30 years old, 40 years old, just imagine how many Ramadan have we witnessed in our life. How many of it? You know, from the time we became baligh, mature, there would be more than about 20 Ramadan that came into our lives. But then we need to ask ourselves, that is my life same or is it changed when Ramadan comes? Or is it just a routine thing that comes every year and goes? We need to ask this to ourselves. And the best way that we can spend our Ramadan would be that we look for it in advance. We start preparing for that month, the month of Ramadan. Normally what happens is, you know, we wait till the month of Ramadan begins. Yeah, we'll see, mashallah, in the month of Ramadan, you'll see the masajid, you know, the masjid is full, brothers will be here for salah, and you'll see people reading Quran, mashallah, very good, amazing. But then all these preparations should begin well in advance before Ramadan. Because if we're just going to start in the month of Ramadan, then it will be just kind of a routine thing. When Ramadan finishes, we'll put the Quran back again in the shelf. No, we start the preparation from now. We look for it from now. That is why, you know, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to make this dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. He used to start reading this dua from the month of Rajab, the previous month. And then he would say, oh Allah, grant barakah in these months and then make us reach the month of Ramadan. Right? So we should prepare for it. Now, there are a few things that we mentioned in our last session as well. Today we'll look into a few more things. See, you know, when Ramadan begins, the first and foremost thing that we all should be very, very careful and very vigilant is the way we spend our time, the way we use our time in. Yeah? We should not spend our time in futile things. No, we should stay away from it. Even outside the month of Ramadan, we should never be doing it, but in the month of Ramadan, we should be even more careful about it. Why? Because it's a very special month. And Ramadan, see, when Ramadan begins, it's all about time. It's all about timing, isn't it? You see the time of suhoor, the time of iftar, you'll count the days, so all about time in Ramadan. So that will also teach us the how should we manage time, time management or work management. Ramadan is the best time to treat or to teach ourselves or to educate ourselves how should we be making our timetables. How should we schedule our day? What should we do in the morning? What do we need to do in the afternoon? When will we be reading Qur'an? So all the tartib and the timetable should be laid out. You know, there was a pious scholar, I think I've mentioned this earlier as well. There was a pious scholar in the past. There was a man who used to live in that time, and he had a thought that I will go to each pious people in this whole locality and I'll be asking them one question. One question I'm going to ask them. And he thought that the question that I'm going to ask them is that if you were told that this is your last day in this world, how are you going to spend it? What are you going to do it? So this man, he had a thought that I should go to each and everyone who is considered to be pious. Yeah, the friends of Allah, the pious people. I will go to them and I will ask each one of them that if you knew that today is your last day, what will you do? What will you do? What are the actions that you'll do? What are the deeds that you're going to do? So then he thought that whatever deeds they'll mention, I'll write it down. I'll make a note of it and I'll start doing it as well. Right? So he went to each of them. He went to each pious people, and then someone said, oh, reading Quran. The other one said, oh, praying my optional salah, and so on and so forth. He came up to this pious man and he asked him the same question as well, that if you knew that today is your last day, today is your last day in this world, what are you going to do? How are you going to spend this day? So say, subhanAllah, the answer that he gave was that I will do the exact same thing that I do every day. I will do exact same thing that I do every day. Why? Because the timetable that I've made in my life, I made it thinking that this could be my last day. I've already thought about this earlier. So the timetable that I made was according to this, that, oh, this could be my last day. So I've already made my plan accordingly. So there is no scope of changing in it. Because my timetable is based on that. I've based on thinking that this could be my last day. Now, brothers, we need to think this to ourselves as well. That this applies to us as well. This applies to us. You know, unfortunately, you know, many a times we get deceived by shaitan and our nafs. And then we think, oh, Ramadan is still 2 weeks to go. It's still 15 more days to go. So we'll repent in the month of Ramadan. We'll ask Allah's forgiveness in the month of Ramadan. So we wait until Ramadan begins. This is merely a deception from shaitan and our nafs. Because there is no guarantee that we are going to witness the month of Ramadan. Yeah, we should all make dua that Allah make us reach the month of Ramadan with afiyah and iman. We make that dua, but there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee, right? We could all, inshallah, we'll all make it till the month of Ramadan, but there's no guarantee of our life. We could go before Ramadan begins to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a fair reality, right? It's a reality. It's nothing to get scared of or to make someone scared of. You know, it's a reality. Yeah, that's why there is a saying, I've mentioned this last week as well, the most certain thing in life is death. Yeah, we all agree to it. Whether you're Muslim or non-Muslim, you're atheist, you believe in Allah, you don't believe in Allah, no matter what, we all accept that there is a day that we all have to leave this world. So the most certain thing in life is death. And the most uncertain thing in life is the time of death. We don't know when we are going to die. Right, so we should all be preparing for it. Now, the month of Ramadan, there are two things I would like to mention. Number one is, the main ibadah, the main act of worship in the month of Ramadan is fasting. Fasting. MashaAllah, we see, MashaAllah, most of our brothers, we all keep fasting in the month of Ramadan. The main ibadah is fasting. But when we fast in the month of Ramadan, fasting is not just about staying hungry and thirsty. It's not just about that. It's not just about that. We start our suhoor, we eat our suhoor, and then we do our iftar. It's not just about staying hungry and thirsty. Fasting, in fasting, we should be very, very careful the things that we are doing. Right? See, you know, that is why when we start our fast, the things that were jais before the start began, before the fast began, that becomes najais as well. For example, you know, just before you eat your suhoor and you begin your fast, before that it was jais for you to drink, it was jais for you to eat. But as soon as you do suhoor, the fast begins, the jais things becomes not jais. Now, what about those things which were already not jais from before? Lying, backbiting, slandering, missing our salah, lying, all these things, all evil acts, they were already najais from before. Now just imagine the severity of these things when we are fasting. Because the things which were jais becomes not jais. So what about those things which are already not jais from now? For example, you know, now, slandering now is not jais. Backbiting is not jais. But when we start our fast, it becomes even more serious if somebody does it. So when we are fasting, we should be very, very careful that we stay away from sins. You know, many a times, mashallah, we all try our best to worship more. We read our salah, we read our optional salah, we read our Quran, mashallah, very good. We do dhikr, everything, mashallah, very good. But sometimes we fall in this trap that we do not protect ourselves from sin. The sins that we were doing earlier, we just carry on doing it as well. No. Along with a'mal that we do, more importance should be given to the sins that we're doing, that we leave it out. For example, you know, we see, mashallah, brothers, they're fasting, but they'll miss the salah. They'll miss the salah. And they'll be forwarding the things on the WhatsApp, or this hadith, mashallah, that hadith. Very good. But then, the importance of salah, you're forwarding it on your WhatsApp, but the salah in your practical life is not there. So just forwarding the messages to others is not going to protect you from missing your salah. We should be very, very careful about the sins that we do, especially in the month of Ramadan. Even now, we should be protecting ourselves from sin, but in the month of Ramadan, we should be even more careful. That's number one. And number two is, the month of Ramadan is the month of Qur'an. Is the month of Qur'an. So we should be trying our utmost best to build our relation with the Qur'an. Build our relation with the Qur'an. And you know, brothers, wallahi, you know, if we read the Quran once, you'll feel like reading it again. If you read it the second time, you'll read it, you'll feel like reading it once more. The more you read the Quran, the more desire it will be in your heart to read it more. You know, unlike any other books of this world, if you were to read it once, you won't feel like reading it. Oh, I've already read it. But Quran is such a book, the Holy Quran is such a book, that the more you read it, and the more you go into the meanings of the Qur'an, there will be more desire in your heart to do more. That's the miracle of the Qur'an, because it's the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Ramadan comes, we should be very, very, you know, we should make sure that we have our daily routine where we take out time for the Qur'an. The Qur'an means that we recite our Qur'an on a daily basis, and along with that, we take out some time and try and understand the meaning of the Qur'an as well. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to me? It's our Qur'an, Allah has sent it to us. And we don't know what it means. You know, there was a scholar who used to say it beautifully, that today the Muslim Ummah, unfortunately, we have mastered in English, or any other language for that matter, so much so that we teach the Englishman that language. Yeah, we see our, mashallah, Muslim brothers and sisters, that's very good, there's nothing bad in it, that we have mastered that language. We've mastered English, that we've got our brothers and sisters teaching English to an Englishman. But then the question we need to ask ourselves, that how much of Arabic do I know to understand my Qur'an? Let alone teaching it to others, but just understanding it ourselves. You know, mashallah, we read Surah Fatiha all our life. In our salah, we read it multiple times. But then the question I need to ask myself is, do I know what I'm reading? Do I know what I'm reading? And remember, brother, it's not difficult at all. And I'm not saying that everyone should become alim or scholars and mufti. It's not like that. But at least some sort of connection with the Qur'an, some understanding of the Qur'an, the surahs that we recite in our salah, we should go to reliable scholars and learn from them. If not every day, at least once a week, at least once in 2 weeks, whatever time we can take it out. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, understand the Qur'an. What is Allah saying to me? You know, the more we understand the Qur'an, the more we'll feel that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Qur'an, that is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just one more last thing is, the Qur'an has got a real, real power. And you know, the speciality of the Qur'an is, just imagine, you know, our kids, mashallah, who comes to maktab, who comes to our Islamic classes in the evenings. Just imagine our kids and us as well, if we were to understand when we read and recite the Qur'an, how amazing that would be. And the power of the Qur'an and the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just amazing. I'll just take one minute. See, there was an incident. It's mentioned in Tafsir al-Kabir regarding Isa alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam, we all know the Prophet Isa alayhi salam. He was once going and passing by a grave. He was passing by a grave, and he was shown by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the person in the grave is getting punished. Is getting punished. There is an angel of punishment punishing that person. Now, when he went to that task, he was returning back, he went past by that very same grave, and it was shown to him that the condition was completely changed. That very same person, now there is an angel of mercy and rahmah showering him the ni'mah of Jannah. Now, Isa alayhi salam was very confused that just a few minutes earlier, we saw that this person was getting punished, and now the whole situation has changed. What has happened? So he requested Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made dua to Allah, "Oh Allah, please reveal to me the real reason why there is a sudden change in it." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed on Isa alayhi salam that, "Oh Isa, you know this person who is in the grave? This person who is in this grave, when he died, he led his whole life of disobedience. Didn't follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command, disobedience. And that is why he was getting punished. But now that you saw the condition has changed, is because just now when he died, he left behind his wife who was expecting a child. And that child grew up, and that child has started reading Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Meaning the child has started reading the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then Allah said that I felt ashamed of punishing my servant within the grave when his son is reciting Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim above the grave. That is the power of Kalamullah, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Ramadan begins, we should be very, very, you know, we should make sure that we build that connection with our Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to act upon what's being said. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.